your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to Alchemy. Joining me today, Chris Lane, Chief Marketing Officer of Airfield Supply. Airfield Supply is a Bay Area cannabis dispensary that also manages a large vertical grow operation and dynamic retail experience. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. And Chris, I got to say, I was really excited to have you on. One, looking at your background, you know, you've got a really great track record from your agency world of being over at Edelman and then going over to WPP, and then you were at Byte and then Method. And then, of course, you know, being the global head of brand at Fiverr, which is super cool because I've used them for a lot of things. And now, you know, being the chief marketing officer at Airfield Supply in the cannabis space, just like a really, you know, great path. And I think just starting off the show, it'd be great for you to, you know, talk a little bit about what brought you over to cannabis, kind of leading through all these great agency and technology plays.
Yeah. So Airfield Supply Company, for anyone who may not know, is as you mentioned, it's a large vertically integrated retail cultivation and product business. So based in San Jose, California, right in the heart of Silicon Valley, and yeah, located in fact, conveniently right across the street from the San Jose International Airport. And so yeah, I mean, my role here as Chief Marketing Officer actually really sort of began with that name. I was a consultant for Airfield when Airfield is actually a 10-year-old business. It was founded back in 2010 in the early days of medical marijuana as South Bay Healing Center. And it scaled from there and right around 2015, as regulations were changing and the business had been growing, you know, massively. It had always been vertically integrated, but really was looking at kind of the next phase of this business and this brand and this sort of community-driven, you know, concept. There was a rebrand in play. And so I was brought in by the CEO, Mark Matlich, to work on that rebrand, or really brand evolution, as we looked at the future of it. And so I was part of the process of naming Airfield, of doing the brand strategy, working with a fantastic designer whose name's Sam Jordan, who we still work with on quite a few projects, and really building this narrative of this new world. At that time, you know, the brief was very simple. What does the future of cannabis look like? And how do we move towards that? I mean, I always love the classic Wayne Gretzky quote about skate to where the puck is going. So we were looking at what the future of cannabis retail and really the cannabis consumer was. At that point, it was still medical, obviously, but we knew adult use was coming. We knew traction was moving in that experience. And it was, how do you design a retail experience that reflects the modern consumer? You know, what is boutique retail in cannabis look like? How do you make it comfortable, approachable? Offer a variety of products that makes it affordable and aspirational for anyone. And at the same time, you know, continue to really build a brand narrative. And so, yeah, to your point, I came from the creative world and strategy world. I had worked with, you know, gigantic tech companies like Adobe and Google and Sony. I had worked with the New York Times a lot on a lot of creative strategy and those kind of things. And then I was in-house as the global head of brand at Fiverr for 3 years leading right up to the IPO. And so, you know, my belief has always been around brand strategy and of course the fantastic Simon Sinek, TED talk that turned into a book, that turned into an empire, that turned into everything around the golden circle. And that idea that people really do buy why and not what, you know, people do not buy what you do, but why you do it. And so, you know, in this process with Airfield back then, it was really about thinking about the essence of cannabis, thinking about what it offered to people, and the opportunities that it allowed you to create and to experience and to live life. And you know, and the mission statement really wrote itself, to use a cliche, around this idea of making the most out of life's journey every day. And that territory, that rich sort of brand territory that Airfield developed around that, And have since scaled then. You know, we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary in February, which is a pretty incredible milestone when you think about what the world was 10 years ago to now, and have become, you know, one of the largest single site retail dispensaries in America, with our own, you know, in-house product line, scaling and really sort of moving now into the next phase of the world, which is all about proliferation of consumer engagement and experience and all of those things as cannabis sort of modernizes and catches up to the rest of the world, in the sort of direct to consumer e-commerce and on-demand model, really.
So, you know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the brand slogan, which I thought was really interesting. So, the slogan is known as High as a Place. So I would love for you to just talk to us a little more about, you know, the slogan and also talk to us about the identity that you've created over there. You know, you've been there for what, 5 years now. So I think the industry has changed a little bit since you've started and, you know, would love to hear more about the evolution.
Yeah, absolutely. And I joined full time just over a year ago. Yeah, I'd spent the time before that as a consultant sort of dipping in and dipping out and helping with various things. But you know, when we were developing the brand, there were a few concepts that were core. The first was obviously just from a strategy perspective and a desire perspective, you know, let's get all of the cliches out of cannabis. Let's get purple and green and the zigzag weed leaf and all the things that are very much sort of in that 1.0 of cannabis or really, you know, almost that dot zero, the beta version, which I suppose you'd say is everything before sort of medical. You know, there's nothing wrong with them, but that's not where we wanted to go. If we were building an aesthetic and if we were building an experience, we wanted people to feel something. And so, you know, that tagline High as a Place really came out of that. It came out of this idea that, you know, cannabis is a thing that has many destinations for many people, whether you are a medical user, an adult use user, whether you're using it for relaxation, for creativity, there are so many destinations that you can go to. But you know, the core of that is the takeoff, right? And when you take off, there are so many incredible things you can do that phrase and that concept really just sort of solidified the way that we view it, that we like to engage our customers. I mean, Airfield has from the very beginning and you know, even when it was South Bay, it's always been about the community. It has been about how do we serve people to enrich their lives, to create new opportunities for them, to create new experiences. We believe that High is a Place, and we believe that Airfield can help you get there in the right ways. And that's a personal belief, and that's a personal experience, and that's a community belief, and it's also a community experience. So, you know, just that richness is what's so exciting. It allows you to just go in so many territories so frequently.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, one, having tapped you, you know, you are really a content marketing and brand strategy expert. So I think that that aligns really beautifully. But I think more importantly, like, you know, you guys have a really unique storytelling ability and a really, you know, very distinct brand voice. And I think, you know, you touched on it in the beginning of the show, really the aeronautical theme. If you can go maybe a little bit deeper into that, like, would love to hear a little bit more about the customer experience, you know, with that theme.
Yeah, it's something that is endlessly fun. And you know, for me, for someone who comes from brand strategy, agency side, in-house brand side, consumer tech, you know, so many different things, as well as, you know, obviously this world of cannabis now and for some time, you know, we knew we had a really exciting and fun concept when the brainstorm and when, you know, when the idea and the phrase Airfield sort of initially came up and it was over a dinner, a casual dinner. And, you know, we were just chatting and thinking of names and the territory just started popping. And as a brand strategist and a creative person who comes from that world and lives in this world on a daily basis, you know, when you can't stop thinking of ideas, that you've got a rich territory. So whether that's, you know, just in the way you can design the retail experience, you know, the fact that we have abstracted pieces of planes sort of, you know, strategically scattered about that give you a little bit of an essence of that, whether it's our lobby, which is designed to sort of vaguely resemble the airport lounge and the waiting area, or whether that's our brick and mortar retail floor that's designed to look like a runway in an airport. You know, those are like very interesting and fun reference points to be able to jump from, to give people a much more sort of enjoyable experience. This is not, you know, the intent was never to make a high volume business where you turn people over and you go from there. It was to give people an opportunity to be excited about something. I think that's another one of the pieces of the Airfield brand essence that was just so exciting as we began to think about it, is that travel is an amazing experience, right? There is no better feeling than getting to the airport, being excited to get on a plane. You don't know what adventure is in front of you. You may be by yourself, you may be with other people. Like that moment of taking off and that moment of liftoff and everything that comes with it, we wanted to bring that to life in everything you do at Airfield. So whether that's in our now launched curbside hangars where you can pick up curbside, or whether that's in the sort of like branded aesthetic that we have in our delivery business that has rapidly scaled over obviously the huge evolution that COVID has brought to the business. But we have also a large focus on sustainability. And so when we looked at launching delivery, there really was no other option for us but getting Teslas as our delivery, just for sustainability reasons, but also for the aesthetic feel of that, right? We want to be able to bring the travel and exciting concept of sort of the finest things in life and the concept of liftoff to you, whether you're at home, whether you come into the store, whether you're picking up, in all these places, because that movement and that essence of sort of experiencing new parts of life, I mean, that's one of the best pieces of cannabis and that sort of thoroughfare to get to the creative notes in the brand are just so fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, you pulled up a really good point there, and, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that as far as the pandemic, but I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask a question about COVID-19 during the last months, like everybody else has had to adapt. But, I feel like, I was doing a little bit of research on you guys and I was reading all about, just kind of the huge sales spikes that you saw in early March. And then, kind of we're looking at 25% growth each day, down on. And then, I believe you saw something like 100% increase in deliveries in what was actually typical. So, I'm just curious, is this going to continue? Is this the new norm? Is this kind of an indication of this new growth? Talk to us a little bit about your approach of marketing during this time. And I know we've had so many guests on the show in the last 2 months, and it's really been the same tune for a lot of people. Like, COVID happened, people had to work from home, shelter in place, everyone went crazy to get their products. And it's continued to, there's been some spikes and declines, but overall it's been really high.
Yeah. I mean, we've saw an incredible rapid evolution of the business as it sort of hit. So there was exactly to that point, there was the weekend stock up sort of prior to shelter in place. And Santa Clara County was, one of the first counties for shelter in place. There were two things that needed to happen immediately. One was ensure the safety, security, and support of our staff, our team. That is incredible that, we were, very quickly deemed an essential business, which we will forever be thankful for. But also, how do we continue to serve the community in that time? There were so many unknowns, and there were so many rapid evolutions that were happening, that, we really went through almost three business models. Over the course of a couple of weeks, there was the initial sort of reaction business model. There was then the, okay, how do we sort of support in this limbo model? That's much more sort of online focus and delivery. And again, to your point, yeah, I mean, we saw a 100% spike in delivery on the first day and 200% on the next day. And really, our ability to increase supporting delivery was only contingent on how fast we could scale our fleet. Obviously, delivery comes with a lot of logistics, and thankfully, in general, Airfield, we as a large volume operator, we had been in the sort of beneficial position that we already had scaled e-commerce greatly over the last year and a half. Especially, we had already begun scaling delivery at a pretty rapid clip and continuing to push there. So really, for us, it was less about a sort of like dramatic 180 and really more about just sort of a kickstart on what we had already been doing and the plans that we had already had. So, you know, we very quickly invested in expanding our fleet of Teslas and delivery service and working to optimize delivery windows so that now, you know, we have a very convenient system where you can have a guarantee in under 2 hours that your delivery will show up, where, you know, we worked obviously to ensure supply chain success, though. Thankfully, being vertically integrated, obviously, you know, on the flower side of things, we always had a great supply of our in-house flower, jet fuel, and all of those kind of things. So, you know, supply chain, I think, and it sounds like from a lot of the people we've talked with, while there are some concerns, thankfully the operators and airfields in a position where you know we're pretty selective in who we work with. We've been able to work with operators that are smart and supplied and ready and know how to go about it. But really it was kind of just pouring gas on the fire of all of the scale and business that we're already intending to do. You know, I think cannabis, even today, had a much more traditional brick and mortar sort of business model for a lot of retail. And, you know, in a lot of ways, that's probably because it is such a new industry that people liked being able to go somewhere and talk to someone and smell products and experience things with a lot of that, the additional senses that you know, direct-to-consumer, e-commerce, on-demand kind of platforms don't necessarily provide in exactly the same way. But that's where then immediately for us, it was about how do we augment those new experiences to make sure that we still offer the same kind of customer support and customer experience, because that has always been at the core of everything we do. So we looked at, okay, how do we provide, you know, better online support, live chat, live agents? Obviously phones are always a thing. But you know, we really wanted to be able to funnel people to the right product very efficiently and very effectively. On the marketing side of things, we had brought on a completely integrated, Salesforce stack, in fact, to allow us to have everything from customer support to marketing automation to data insight, so that we are providing, even in a world where we may not be able to offer a one-to-one physical interaction, we can offer a one-to-one personal recommendation based on data, based on what we know about a consumer and what they're interested in, and guide them to the right thing, be that a reorder, be that a new order, or be that helping people understand the new options they may have that they just were simply used to all the time.
Totally. So, you know, I know you guys are obviously focused on the Bay Area, but any plans on, you know, extending the brand experience, you know, across the country?
Yeah, I mean, we're always interested in opportunity. You know, for us, the model has always been perfection first and expansion second. We wanted to perfect the retail experience. We wanted to perfect the e-commerce experience. We wanted to perfect the delivery experience. And then, you know, the concept of geography expansion or various different things like that are always on the table. I think what we're really the most excited about right now is the idea of you know, serving the Bay Area, of serving this community, and of really finding ways to make sure that we are being as convenient to our community as possible. You know, I think one of the really interesting things with COVID, we believe that Airfield is a community-driven brand. And by that, what I mean is, you know, especially in the marketing sense, you know, brands often think about the one-to-one interaction that a customer has with a brand, and that's it, right? They think it's between you and the customer. We are very much of the belief that brands are facilitating shared experiences among communities, and that is often our biggest value, right? I mean, back to the concept of high as a place. You know, most people travel together. Most people are living their lives with shared experiences. And so we want to be able to continue to support that rather than, you know, necessarily maybe jump and try to tackle the one-to-one experience in a multitude of places. There is so much opportunity and experience to be had, shared, created, supported in this community. But that's not to say that we're not looking at other places. We're always looking at how we can do things right. But it's always perfect and then expand. And that has to be at the level of brand promises connecting to product experiences.
Cool. So I think just, you know, one other quick question, you know, I think from a kind of looking at the pandemic and, you know, obviously, you know, we've seen a big growth across the entire industry during this time, but kind of the after effects and, you know, one of the things that we've been seeing the last few weeks is obviously unemployment is at an all-time high and, you know, the economy is kind of on shaky territory. So, you know, do you think that as people have, let's just say, less disposable income, you know, will it impact the cannabis space at all in the long run, or is this kind of a small blip? Or are really just people just saying, you know what, this is essential. These are essential products for me, so I'm not going to kind of cut those costs down like I might in other areas.
Yeah. I think cannabis has aspects of elastic goods and inelastic goods to sort of reframe what you were saying there. And I think our job is to make sure that we can support both sides of that, to be able to support the more essential, fundamental sort of decisions and those kind of things, and also be able to support the aspirational and more desired decisions when it comes to what consumers are looking for. So I think cannabis's job is to not think of itself too highly or not think of it too lowly. Again, it is a consumer-driven industry. It's community-based. It comes down to all those things. So I think we'll see evolutions. I think we will see some people who are seeking out more value-driven things or things that maybe, you know, maybe slightly shift their approach. And I think we'll continue to see people who have an incredible reverence for, appreciation of, and desire to consume things that continue to fall into higher categories. I think retailers that will thrive in this time understand that. And really, to be frank, it kind of goes back to general understanding of an audience to begin with. I always am a big believer in personalization in marketing. And a huge believer in the idea that, one message to 200,000 people is significantly less effective than 200,000 messages sent to 200,000 people. I don't think anyone will ever argue that you can do that, but that requires you understanding your community, understanding your customers, and being able to offer to them that kind of personalized marketing or personalized engagement and experience that allows them to fulfill their needs.
Awesome. So Chris, kind of just a quick last question, you know, lots of stuff going on there, but anything new coming down the pike?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of really exciting things, in fact. So at Airfield, we've spent the last 9 months or so building out a completely holistic CRM system, completely integrated into our POS and marketing automation stack, so that every touch point with the customer has integrated data that's being fed, whether it's customer support or whether it's in our marketing automation and journeys that we're sending people on. So we're actually just about to launch a next generation level of that that's going to be looking at everything from demographic and psychographic data all the way down to, purchase behavioral data in creating essentially, artificial intelligence journeys for customer paths. So sort of like the next level of customer experience in this new digital world and in this much more on-demand world, which is fantastic because it would allow us to serve our community significantly more effectively. And with that one-to-one message, that's amazing. So that's all powered by Salesforce and really allows us to drive something at a next level that hasn't been seen in the cannabis industry. And then equally exciting to that is we're just recently launched what is called Trees Pay, which is powered by Stronghold, which is a 100% contactless, secure, one-click payment solution for all of our customers. So traditionally, when you would have to place your reservation and then go through that transaction process, which often kind of slowed down the customer experience, whether it was debit, credit, cash, whatever. We now have the ability to offer anyone who orders online or for delivery a one-click solution that's completely secure, tied into your account, just between the bank and our point of sale system to execute against it. And it's completely contactless, right? So in the age of COVID, there's no more cash handling for our staff or the customer. as well as just an incredible convenience. I mean, we literally cut the transaction down to simply you order, you pay, you grab, and you go. So we're super excited about those two things. And they're just coming out right now, and they should really help kind of scale the opportunity and the kind of things we can offer to our community.
That's great. I really love, when companies step up in times of change, and obviously with COVID, adapting to, what's going to be good for people and business and employees. So good job there. Love that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're really excited. And hopefully it's just the beginning. You know, we're looking at the customer experience and saying, where can we push it and where can we improve it? And ultimately, how can we help people live their best life and fly a little higher?
Yeah, I think that too is really great for, building loyalty, with your customers as well and keeping them, coming back for more. So fantastic. And Chris, if you've listened to the show before, we talk a little bit about you and business and all that fun stuff in the beginning, but then we kind of end the show with some quick fire questions. Super easy.
Can't wait.
All right. First question. What's the spiciest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, well, the reveal on that is I'm actually something of an absolute spice addict.
Really?
I like crazy. Like my refrigerator is three or four drawers full of nothing but hot sauces from around the world.
Oh, nice.
Kind of thing. So the spiciest thing I actually...
That'll be good then.
I know, honestly. Whenever I travel, and I've had the fortune to travel around the world for work and for pleasure, I always, one of the first things I do, no matter where I'm going, is I look up what the spiciest dish is in that city or that country, and I go eat it as soon as I can. So I've done the fall challenge in New York City. I've done some of the pepper challenges in South Africa. I've done everything you can get your hands on the West Coast. I think probably the spiciest thing I can think of. Well, I did the Carolina Reaper, the Pockies, the one chip challenge. I actually did two chips on that one just because I don't know why. But that was probably one of the hottest things, the one chip challenge. Or there is a place in New York called Dan and John's Wings, and they have a completely off the menu spice challenge list. And I've worked my way up on that list and done every one except the last one. And I just haven't been in New York since then. So I just kind of, I do one higher each time. So those two were the things that actually got me pretty good.
Have you ever had ghost peppers? Cause I'm growing them this year.
Oh, I have ghost pepper everything. Not to be the nerd, but like, I love them. It's such a good flavor. Yeah, please. I'll swing by and have some.
All right. Next time you're in New York. Okay, next question. What's the most expensive thing you've ever broken?
Oof. I burned my parents' house down on accident when I was a kid.
Come on.
That probably counts in St. Louis. Yeah, I grew up in the Midwest, and I was making a Midwestern delicacy, in fact, called toasted raviolis, which are meat-filled raviolis that you fry in oil, when my parents were home, or not home. And I got distracted, and I came back upstairs, and my entire kitchen was on fire, and we had to move out of the house for several months while we repaired it. So that was probably the most expensive financially and emotionally that I've done. Yeah.
Geez. Well, I got to tell you, so far two questions, and they're like suited for you already. I don't know how that happens, but I just randomly put questions together. Okay. Next question: if someone narrated your life, who would you want to be the narrator?
Ooh. I mean, I feel like the dream's gotta be Brad Pitt, just with the tone.
Yeah,
he's a fellow Missourian, so I suppose there's the emotional desire there, and he makes everything sound cool.
Right. Yeah. What was cool when you were young, but just isn't cool today?
Yeah, my wife will love this one. Aggressive inline skating, rollerblading. And in fact, I was a competitive, aggressive inline skater.
Really?
my entire childhood until I ended up breaking my leg and having to go to college, which was such a disaster. But that was At least that was cool in some places. Right. I don't know if it was cool to everyone, but that is certainly not cool to anyone anymore.
It is definitely not cool anymore. Okay, last and final question. If magic was real, what spell would you try to learn first?
Flying. Absolutely.
Flying?
Flying. I'd figure out how to fly.
By the way, me too. Every time I think about that, I'm like, yeah, if I had special powers, I'd be flying.
Yes, it's the immediate best choice. It opens up the world.
Totally. Well, Chris, listen, I got to say, I appreciate you coming on the show. And, you know, it was great to hear more about Air Supply and also, you know, really dive into your background and all the great things you were doing from, you know, the days of Edelman and WPP all the way to, you know, Fiverr. So keep up the great work and, you know, congrats on everything you're doing over at Air Supply. And we'll be watching you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.